Good morning. Today is Wednesday, March the 15th. Joining us this morning is Humboldt County Supervisor, Mr. Wilson. Good morning, sir.
Good morning, Brian.
How you doing?
Pretty good. Yeah, feeling good. More or less.
The PT is working, huh?
That's right.
Yeah, okay. Our quote this morning. Oh, let's see. M.C. Richards, quote, whatever has form in the process is still of... All right, let's not worry about that one. A little too complicated. Andrew Maslow, spontaneity gets confused with impulsive and acting out. And then there's no way to tell the difference. Yeah, I think you guys were trying to avoid that a little bit, weren't you?
That guy doesn't sound like he's any fun.
No, but he's got his triangle down. What was your expectation going into last Thursday night's meeting?
Oh, my expectation? I really didn't have much of an expectation, only from what I had heard from the meetings before. So there had been a meeting the week before in Bembo, which I heard was great. Heard there was somewhere between 30 and 50 people who had showed up in Southern Humboldt. And to review this meeting that you're talking about, and for the listeners, what this is the county is asking the citizens to bring their input into how monies for Measure S would be spent. And Measure S is the taxation on the cannabis growing in Humboldt County. So we, the Board of Supervisors, task staff to do some sort of outreach with ourselves and as well as department heads, and to go out and meet the citizenry at these meetings. And so there was one in Bembo, and then there was one in McKinleyville. It was supposed to be in Willow Creek, but it got moved to McKinleyville because of the road situation and the weather. And so Thursday nights was the big one. It was basically the one that's in the center. It was at the Sequoia Center here in Eureka, and it was great. I mean, there was, I'm going to say, 100 people there or something like that, and very energized crowd. My expectation, I didn't have one, but it was far exceeded any expectation I could have had.
Was the process something you felt comfortable with?
Oh, yeah. I think the process was great. I mean, no process is perfect by any means, but this one is very participatory. It had folks coming in, and they had all these different tables where all the department heads took input from various folks, wrote it all down. People voted on the different things that they wanted to see happen in the county, and that was actually really fun. It was because there was up on the screen, so there's large screens, and you could see your votes come in.
It's fun playing with the toys, isn't it?
Yeah. Well, they had these clickers for people who had smartphones. The smartphones, you just dialed it right in, and you actually participated on the vote with the smartphones, and it was, direct democracy, I guess you'd call it, in certain circles, and it was. It was great. And the best part about it, I mean, from my perspective, we were talking about Measure Z monies, which, is basically a small amount of money relative to the general fund, that the county has. But it engaged everybody in that process and in the budgetary process. And I think I'm hoping this is a model as we move forward.
KINS News and Information Times 8:19. We'll be back with more from Mike Wilson.
You've never heard us before, because we're something brand new. It's called Destination Radio. If you live in Ferndale or Gold Beach, Blue Lake or Klamath, Brookings or Eureka, you'll be looking for someplace different to take the family, something special to do next weekend. The best destinations for day trips and overnights, for hiking or biking, for beachcombing or birdwatching, and you'll turn to us for ideas, because you're the reason we're here, to help you find your close-to-home destination. Stay, play, and relax with us. Destination Radio.
Good morning, KINS News and Information Time. It's 8:24. We're back to Talk Shop this morning with Mike Wilson. Mike, the concept of the public meeting is cool. I think, it's more involvement than what the budget process normally gets as far as feedback and stuff. So that part's kind of neat.
Yeah. I would say that for anywhere. I mean, I'd say this is a model. I mean, we, Humboldt County, in this process that we used, I think it's almost unique.
Well, they've done that with the budget in the past, you know, yeah. And nobody shows up because they don't. It's a different dynamic.
Yeah.
This one kind of worked out cool.
Oh, great. There was kids there.
That's
there
what I was
families.
Wondering. Some of the personalities and the suggestions and all that kind of stuff.
Oh, the diversity was really wonderful. I mean, really, people of all ages. There was lots of younger people there, which is unusual from my perspective, you know, for that kind of engagement. And by young, I mean 20s and 30s. And they were engaged and interested. And they had good input into the process. You know, there was a diversity of folks from all walks of life. There was even a table for so people who didn't speak English could have interpretation of a lot of the stuff that was happening there. Like I said, there was kids. People brought their kids, and it was I really was impressed. It was really great.
When Estelle was on last week, she said that the grower community was there, well represented.
Yeah.
Was that the same with this? Or was this more regular guy and regular gal, if you will?
Well, I mean, I think the cross section here was more in the urban core because that's where we are in Eureka, and so a lot of the folks coming in were from the 4th district,
tend to be older,
from the 3rd district. Yeah. Not necessarily. There were some people who I think represented the grower community at this meeting. But I would not say it was dominated by that at all. But it was interesting because there was a lot of input and suggestions about where the money might be spent. And one of those viewpoints was if the money's being collected, you know, in these areas where growing is occurring, then if it's to be spent on services, then those folks would like that spent in their areas, where their services.
That sounds like it's a pretty common thread through this
process
also. And that makes sense. I mean, that's what we talk about with anything.
Right.
I mean, so that's kind of a consistent confirmation, I suppose.
Right. And in general, those rural areas are, especially when you're talking about social services, are harder to reach. It's harder to get into help those families and help those kids that have systemic issues within those communities. And so it's good that there may be some funding to help out with that and that this is the way to do it.
What was the biggest surprise you had?
Last night?
Either an idea.
Or I mean, not last night, on Thursday?
Yeah, either an idea or a suggestion or, huh.
I just think the process itself. I was just very taken aback by the participation level, and I really think we're going to have repeat customers. I think if we continue to engage our citizenry in this type of budgeting process, that they're going to feel and rightfully so that they have a real voice in that. And so I was just really happy with that.
With this turnout,
mm-hmm.
you guys are projecting a couple $1 million.
Yep.
Now I understand long term,
yeah,
there are numbers like 15 to 20 million bucks a year
mm-hmm.
that are being kicked around. Obviously there's going to be a little bit more interest, the more money that is there. Do you see this continuing to be as this model was, or do you see the Measure Z model being more what would be applicable? I mean, if you had 500 people show up because there's so much money available,
right,
and everybody banging the drum for their special area of interest and concern, you know, it could really become a quagmire, couldn't it?
I think, you know, the difference between Measure Z and Measure S for me is Measure Z seems a bit more specific in terms of what people expect the money to be spent. And so the interest groups tend to be a bit narrower. I like that process too. It's more administrative in that we appoint people onto a committee, and that committee then, which is an open process, and people can go and make suggestions to that committee, and then that committee makes recommendations to the board, and then the board decides what to do with the Measure Z money. And this kind of skips that committee process a bit and just is really much more direct. I'm going to have to wait and see in terms of like which one I feel like comes out the best in terms of how we budget things. But I like both processes. I've been impressed with both. And it's just, like I said, the Thursday night meeting was just, I'm still really processing that myself and thinking about, you know, how to move forward.
It would be interesting for me
mm-hmm.
if there's, let's put a zero behind those dollars.
So right.
Okay. would it make sense, because the impact of this industry is countywide,
mm-hmm.
not to concentrate in the areas where the payees are, but to spread it to the community. Roads is where I'm kind of going with this thing, with certainly the degradation we've seen in the last couple of weeks about what's going on all around us. I think Tom Matson's story now resonates a little bit more with some folks than what it did in the past, to say, okay, what is the crying need? Or maybe it's mental health, or and apply 50% to this for 5 years.
Roads was brought up for sure on Thursday night. I mean, it was there, and it's certainly people understand that it's a big component of public safety, and that you can't help people if you can't reach them. And it's a big component of public health, because if you can't reach them for services, then you can't provide the service. So it's in there for sure.
But right now it's not enough to really do anything with.
Yeah, but what I'm saying is that even though what we were talking about was $2 million last night, the process and the thoughts that were going through people's minds was really beyond the $2 million. It was really talking about how we budget, you know, our county. And so that was just that part I'm saying is the most positive part.
That's what what I've been most excited about is the structure really resulted in some input.
Oh, yeah.
Okay, now you got enough ideas. Now it's finding money.
Right.
Well, you don't need more ideas.
Right.
You need more money.
Yeah.
So, maybe every other year or every third year or something like that, go back and repeat the process.
Right.
Because if you get more ideas, great. Now you got more ideas. You don't have any money for it.
Well, and certainly the county is now thinking about how we process permits for these cannabis cultivation and its impact on our budget. And so that's, you know, something we're really starting to think about.
It's 8:30.
What could we do as a community to make Humboldt a better place to work and live? The answer is to make sure our kids are literate, able to plan financially, move forward in their education so they are better prepared to enter our workforce, and become contributing and productive members in our society, community, and economy. How do we do it? Through the Decade of Difference Initiative. Visit decadeofdifference.org and find out how you, as a parent, student, or business owner, can help. It's the Decade of Difference. Be part of it.
Good morning, KINS, News and Information Time. It's 8:35. We're back talking shop this morning with Mike Wilson, Humboldt County Supervisor. Talk shop presented by REDIC and by CDH Painting. Mike, some of the challenges I would think whenever there's money there, and I remember, too far back, when there used to be money and there would be the battles of budget time, and you get this constituency and you get that constituency, and the library would be pitted against roads and cops and all that kind of stuff. That kind of hasn't happened lately. You've got Measure Z, though, that is there, that does seem to be kind of the relief valve at this point.
Mm-hmm.
Is that process something that you, as a supervisor, are you monitoring the suggestions? Do you pop into the meetings? Do you see what their comments and discussions and concerns are?
Well, I don't go to their meetings. I haven't gone to one of those yet. I do have my appointee on the committee, and I do check in with her. And she's very good at letting me know what's coming up and what she's thinking and what the results were from the meeting. And so I actually have a person that I communicate regularly with on that with regards to those meetings. And that's been very helpful to me, because I can't actually make it to every single meeting that I would like to make it to.
You wouldn't be here then, would you?
I mean, it's astounding how many of, how many committees and how many interests there are that you can be involved in, especially as county supervisor, both here and at the state and nationally, I suppose. A lot of folks are doing that. So it's great when I have good people who are willing to give me those reports and give me that input and discuss the issues. It's been great. So And then that all feeds back to the supervisors again, you know, and then the public comes, has another shot at it to influence our decision at the board level. So I, like I said before, I've been pretty happy with the Measure Z process. And for me, that's, you know, anytime we tax ourselves and we give ourselves a decent process by which that's transparent like that to be able to spend the money, I'm pretty happy with that. We, you know, that's how it should be.
It's always interesting when there's a situation where you've got an advisory committee. So you have the decisions, you've got the folks that you are trusted with. I have asked this of the other four, so join the club. When a recommendation comes to you from a committee, could be planning committee.
Yep.
It could be Measure Z committee. It could be the XY.
Well, we have a long list of committees.
Yeah, I know.
I encourage people
to sign
up for them.
Do you have to say no to their decision or recommendation before you say yes to your decision? Or do you have your decision and you're looking to see if it runs parallel to what their determination was?
Well, for the most part, I mean, I tend to wait a little bit to get receive the input from the committee, whatever it is. And then that's generally my trigger to reach out and see if there are other viewpoints besides that committee that may have an interest in that. And then from all that information, do my best to make the best decision I can. And of course, that's as part of a group. And I think that's what we all do.
Does the committee recommendation take a little higher weight or have more weight when arriving at that?
Well, every committee that we receive some kind of some sort of recommendation, it can be quite different. Where Measure Z is a much more open process than others because of the participation level, not because of an interest. So in some regards, you know, some committees are a bit of in a vacuum, to be quite honest. They don't have a lot of support to outreach to the community. They tend to be people who are very interested in a single subject and kind of all come together. And that's great.
Well, like juvenile justice.
Well,
that's what I was on. I don't know if we ever had anybody who showed up just because they were going to show up.
Oh, I've been
either they were presenting or they were family members or that kind of thing.
I would say that some people do come to those things just to show up and see what the committee is about. I've seen that happen.
Just general interest.
General interest. The Behavioral Health Board, there are definitely people from the public that come to that and just are interested in the subject matter and want to have some input and actually even look at the agenda. So there are actually a lot of committees that where people are have real interest in those different segments. And I appreciate that. And so it definitely carries weight when you receive a recommendation from a committee, I think for sure. And for me, it's like that's where you start your conversation oftentimes because that's the trigger for something to be on the agenda.
So that's your starting point and then you'll come off of that.
Right, exactly. And I appreciate the work that those folks do. And it's very, very helpful. Even sometimes if I don't agree, you know, I appreciate the process.
KINS, News and Information Times, 841. We'll be back with more from Mike Wilson.
What's the shopping show all about?
If you haven't listened to the show before, it's kind of tough to describe.
I guess the easiest first step is to simply go to the Shopping Show website.
TheShoppingShow.net.
And join us this Saturday for the next Shopping Show.
On KINS 106.3 FM.
KURY FM 95.3 and 101.3 in the Illinois Valley.
And KEKA 101.5 and 100.9 in Eureka.
Good morning, KINS, News and Information Time. It's 8:46. We're back to Talk Shop this morning with Mike Wilson. Mike, now that you've settled in a little bit, you got things rolling, what's the big issue? What's that elephant that's out there, whether or not it has water wings or it has just regular old wings or anything else? What started to kind of clarify for you in the first 8 to 10 weeks? It says, you know, this is something we really need. I need to get into.
Well, there's a couple of things that I think are kind of on the horizon these days. One of them, of course, is this is just the cannabis issue. I mean, everyone's going to tell you that because we're just in such transition with that. It's transitioning our economy. It's transitioning our culture. It's transitioning our land use all at the same time. And it's one of those where people want you to give them the answer, you know, and I have to tell them, well, I don't have the answer. Basically, we're going to do our best to respond to the changes as they're coming.
Well, and there's still the variable called the federal government.
Well, there's
they
the
could erase the whole thing and etch a sketch and start all over again.
Well, then there's the state government too, which has some 40 bills with in relationship to this issue happening right now. And then there's the interests of the folks that are here, doing the business of growing cannabis, and then there's all the associations and the distribution and everything else. And so it's quite complicated, and it. And I mean, fortunately, I guess we're able to talk about it openly now. That you know, that's different than it was even 5 years ago. So that's kind of a big one. Another one I think is some of our energy issues, and we're doing the community choice aggregation is coming up, and that's a great move for Humboldt County. It's been a good move for other communities as well, where basically Humboldt County becomes its own energy provider.
Yeah, kind of our own entity.
Yeah. And so that's great. And we are starting to move to more energy independence. And one of the bumps in that road happens to be the issue of biomass energy generation and how that fits into the energy marketplace. And that is, and how it fits into our landscape management in terms of both logging, but just even forest management, and then also how it fits into just energy independence in general. Oh, and also the sawmills too, because the sawmills are producing waste, and we need a place to be able to put that waste. And one of the things that's been a long time has been this biomass.
You're better than teepee burners, I suppose.
Oh, it's much better than teepee burners. Yes, it's true. I mean,
you know how dated we sound just by saying TP burner.
Right.
How few people know.
Well,
remember.
Yeah, there's not very many of those around. At least, yeah, not even functional.
I think there's two of the old skeletons around.
Right. So, I mean, that's kind of coming up. I think there's an alliance that needs to be made between both the traditional forest management folks who have been, talking about biomass from the perspective of a waste product or a forest management product. And then there's kind of the energy geeks, and those who are talking about energy independence and talking about, how we make these systems better.
How much does the county project the impact will be on the savings? Is it a significant amount to kind of give a little wiggle room?
I think
even if it just gets thrown to contingency funds?
Oh, no. I think it's going to, the savings, maybe not as much to the consumer, like it might be something, but when the aggregated savings to the county is going to be a significant fund, I think, and that will be reinvested into the community in so many different ways. Mostly related to energy efficiency, again, energy independence, and then also trying to keep our rates low. So it sounds pretty good to me. Again, the trickiest part right now is trying to figure out this biomass issue, I think, is the one we really...
Well, it'll probably work its way through.
It's very... It's hard because the price of natural gas is so low. I mean, everything, it has to compete. And so these older plants that we have right now aren't as efficient as maybe something newer would be, but they exist. And so making that competitive is very, very difficult. It's really quite expensive. And so this is a big problem for us coming up.
Fairhaven and a couple of these guys that are used to doing Humboldt Redwoods also. Well, we got a little bit of knowledge in it. We'll see how that plays out, though.
We have knowledge, but as the price drops for electricity from other sources, it becomes very, very hard for them to compete. And this is a problem for us.
Thanks for coming by.
Oh, thanks for having me. Always a good time.
You're a stand-up guy.
Today
see you
I
ready
am.
Tomorrow. Yeah.